Turn, if you would, to the epistle of 1 John. I'm glad to be back here. Sometimes people that know I'm going to be away, not so much folks in the church, but otherwise, they ask me where I'm going, and I tell them I'm going down to South Georgia. And the first thing that seems to come to their mind, obviously, is why would you go all the way down to South Georgia to preach? And then the second thing that comes to their mind, I'm sure, is who in South Georgia would want you to come down and to preach? But if you would look with me this morning in the epistle of 1 John. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, if you notice in these verses, John talks about fellowship. And I hear a lot of people in our day use that word, fellowship. But I'm afraid that what they're often really talking about is friendship. Because fellowship here has to do with communion and relationship that is based on more than friendship. Biblical fellowship is between God and his people, and it is within and among his believing people. If you look back at verse 3, I think it states that. He says, "That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." And of course, this is exactly what Paul talks about when he says to the Corinthians, "God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." Now, I would want you to be sure and know that I love friendship, and I am thankful for friends. But I have friends and friendships in which there is no fellowship. As a matter of fact, most all of the friends or friendships that I have, they have not as a part of them this fellowship that John is talking about. And there's a reason for that. And it is because fellowship has to do with something commonly believed, something commonly understood and known and agreed upon, and of course also loved. And for that reason, a believer cannot have fellowship with an unbeliever. And this is especially true, and I say especially true, that a believer cannot have fellowship with an unbeliever, especially if they are a follower of a false religion. He cannot have fellowship with a false god. The one that is described in the Old Testament by one of the prophets as a god that cannot save. Paul says to these Corinthians in another place, he says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" We may agree on a favorite sports team. We may agree on a favorite political candidate. We may agree on a lot of things, but we cannot agree with their doctrine, and we cannot agree with a false god. Paul again to the Corinthians says, "But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God." Now that doesn't simply mean all the animals that might have been sacrificed in days past, whatever it is. But it is simply the works and the rituals and the ceremonies and the sacrifices that are made by false religionists to a false god. He says, "And I would not that you should have fellowship with the devils." Now that is not to say that all believers must totally agree with each other on every detail. I have heard some quote the prophet Amos. As a matter of fact, this happened to me personally. A man was in disagreement with me on a point that I don't really consider to be a point upon which to break fellowship. But because I didn't dot the I with him and cross the T with him, he just simply sent me back in a note that text from Amos. "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now, simply, I just say this. If in order for two sinners to walk together or to be in fellowship, they had to agree on every point and detail, there would not be any fellowship. Absolutely would not be. Because two sinners, in that sense, have never agreed totally on anything. I mean, not anything. But what he's talking about there is not our walking together in agreement, so much as he's talking mostly about our being in agreement with the living God. Are we in agreement with God? And he, in speaking like that, says virtually the same thing that the psalmist does in Psalm 94 and verse 20 when he says this, "Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law?" How can we, who you might as well say, sit upon a throne of iniquity, how could we ever be in agreement with, and most especially have fellowship with, the throne of holiness and grace and goodness? But not only do people misrepresent that, I believe that they very often misrepresent what John is talking about here in verse 7. When he says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And I would almost guarantee you that you could gather in your arms 10 volumes of 10 different Bible commentators and read what their comments are on that 7th verse, and almost every one of them will be in agreement, saying that it has something to do with what they call the Christian walk. That it has something to do with our obedience in life, our conduct of life, and that fellowship with God is based on whether or not we are at any given time conducting ourselves in such a manner, walking in the light. But again, not only with each other as like sinners, but most especially with between us and this thrice holy God, could we imagine for one second that fellowship with God could ever be based on something we're doing or not doing? If it is, as Scripture says, that at our best state, we are altogether vanity, if even as believers we still possess this nature of sin, how could it ever be said that based on our doing or our not doing, we could have fellowship or lose fellowship with God? I could say for myself, if I can't speak for anybody else, I'd never have fellowship with God. Because if it in any way depended upon me and something in or about me, I could never, ever, ever have this fellowship with the living God. Well, that being said, what is it then to walk in the light? Now, that'd make a real good song title and theme for one of these emotional gospel song writers. But what does it really mean to walk in the light? Well, what is represented by light in the scriptures? The thing that is represented by light in the scriptures is truth. The truth. And it is also the one who is himself called the light. In other words, the light has to do with the truth concerning him who is himself the light. Meaning that we walk in the light as we believe the truth concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I could never believe myself, no matter how much bravado I use in trying to convince people that I do, I could never have fellowship with God except on this one basis. That's in the light. That's the basis that is revealed in the gospel of Christ crucified. You see, what it boils down to is this. I could never have fellowship with God, neither can any sinner have fellowship with God except in one fellow. One fellow. Turn back over for just a minute and look in Zechariah and the 13th chapter. Zechariah chapter 13. Because here in Zechariah, God himself makes reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and does so in that way that shows him as Christ crucified. Zechariah 13 and verse 7. You're probably familiar with it. He says, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow." That also means something like, the one that stands beside me. Some define it as the one that is close to me. He says, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. What is he talking about? He's talking about that one act whereby divine justice rose against Christ as the substitute of his people, and in doing so, satisfied God, and God calls him my fellow. And in my mind, that really establishes the basis of all true fellowship, especially with God. You see, one day, God interrupted and intervened in the life of this sinner. And the one Christ, the one Jesus that I had set my heart against, my mind against, my will against all my life, he made him to be to me my fellow. And what I'm saying is this: my fellowship with God, I find myself in agreement with God over this one fellow. And therefore we have fellowship. We agree. God is pleased with him, satisfied with him, loves him, and I'm pleased with him. I'm satisfied with him. I love him. It's all about one fellow. And that which was brought against him in this matter of righteousness, whereby God saves all his people through his death, I'm pleased with that. I can remember writing down things in my Bible when I first started to preach and try to tell somebody other things about God, you know, and I'd find myself writing down how this proved exactly the opposite of exactly what it was proving. Then something happened one day. Somebody stated clearly, plainly, just what God said he's pleased with. And it was the day of God's power to my soul, because he made me pleased with it. Pleased with this one fellow. Pleased with this gospel that gives to him all the glory. And there was a way by which this all came to pass. If you notice John's writings, his purpose in writing, he says that that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. You see, all true fellowship with God and with God's people is based on the gospel. He said that, being an apostle, speaking of the other apostles who had literally seen the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory, he says that which we have both seen and heard, declare we unto you. Why? That you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if somehow, amazingly, a visible presence of God were to fill this building this morning? So that his presence was unmistakable, undeniable, would there be any ground upon which you could have fellowship with him? When Uzzah reached out to touch the Ark of the Covenant where God said he dwelt, he smote him dead. And it happened over and over and over again. And yet the apostle is talking about somebody having fellowship with God, having fellowship with God through and by one fellow, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean about our fellowship with one another? Now, I'm just an Eastern North Carolina country boy. You're South Georgians. You're real smart. I'm real dumb. You're all nice looking people. I'm ugly. You have brains. I have something. How could we who have such diversity? And you know, that's what always politicians and idealists are always striving for, this unity that never happens. Do you know why? Because we're all sinners. What's the only ground upon which we who are so different can ever have fellowship? It's only when we agree on that same one fella. Who saved you? That one fella. Who gets all the glory in your life? That one fella. What do you have that you receive? That grace in that one fella. And that's why in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul is always calling for the Lord's people to put away all unimportant differences and look and think about and glory in that one fella. I promise you, no matter how politically diverse we might be or whatever it might be, if you know Christ, if He's your hope, if salvation's in His blood and His righteousness, if you trust Him and only Him, we can have fellowship. We can have fellowship when with a person who I might agree with on all these other areas, and yet I can't have any fellowship with them. Our fellowship is in Christ. Our fellowship is with God. Our fellowship is with His people. He's my fellow. I'm interested in who He is. I'm interested in what He did. I'm interested in where He is. And when the apostle tells us in one of the epistles to everything that is good and true and all these things, when he says to us, think on these things, he's talking about us thinking on Christ. Because he's the only one that'll fit that description. And our fellowship is with him. And in His truth. This morning early I was looking at some things, and John says here, he said, we declare some things to you. And we declare these things to you in order that we might have this fellowship. And I thought about in Acts chapter 2, in that early church, they didn't have a building like this. There were Jews and Gentiles. Never a more hostile lot toward each other has ever been. There were rich folks and there were poor folks. And yet they are all described as that church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Guess what the next thing is? And
fellowship. They agreed on the apostles' doctrine, and on that basis, they had fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. There's only one fellow that God will have fellowship with you on the basis of. And in reality, there's only one fella upon which we can have fellowship with each other. And that's the Son of God. That's the Lord our righteousness. That is Jesus Christ the righteous. And in him, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Now, you know, when you study one thing, we were talking about this a little last night, it's amazing that when you're studying one thing, all of a sudden you hit on something that just blows your mind, maybe totally unrelated in the context in which it was being written or taught. But the word fellowship here in this first chapter of 1 John is a Greek word, I'll try to pronounce it, koinonia. And it is defined by words like partnership, participation, social intercourse, communion, fellowship. But quite amazingly, if you turn back over to 2 Peter and the first chapter, there is in that fourth verse a word that is very close kin to the same word in 1 John 1. That word means a sharer, an associate, a companion, fellowship. Say, what word is that? Well, in verse 4, chapter 1, 2 Peter, Peter writes and he says, whereby are given unto us, that is the Lord's people, exceeding great and precious promises. Where do we get these exceeding great and precious promises? They're in the Word. They're in the gospel of Christ. He says that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, I've heard a lot of people interpret that in such a way it kind of almost makes us little gods. If he's talking about the Holy Spirit indwelling us, fine and good. If he's talking about, as some say, us having something that I don't believe we have, called a new nature, don't think that applies. But what it does say is basically the same thing that John says, that through his exceeding grace, his precious promises that are yes and amen in Christ, we have fellowship with God. We're partakers, associates with, companions with the one that we in ourselves never could be. We have fellowship with God.
We have fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can look at myself, and I can't ever see any divine nature. I'm thankful for every, as a matter of fact, any inclinations to good, any understanding of truth, any appreciation for God, any love for Christ, it's all the working of His Spirit. But only in the light. Only in the light can we have fellowship with God. And I can get so down sometimes, I'm thinking I'm like living on the backside of a desert place. I know you don't ever know anything about this. But I'm so depressed, I'm so low, I'm so cold feeling of heart and mind. I'm way out there as far from God as you can imagine. Then I'll come back to this book. He'll draw my mind, my heart back to some promise of this book. He'll remind me that all acceptance and all salvation and all relationship and all fellowship He has always based not on me, but on Christ. I can rejoice. You see, that's where fellowship begins to make an impression on us personally, is when we can rejoice to remember and know that all our salvation is in and by the Lord Jesus. We have fellowship with God. And we have fellowship with each other, with God, in His Son, in the one who is our fellow. I'm trusting the same fellow that God trusted to honor Himself and to save me. We agree.